And this evening, we're glad to have with us Brother Andre Henriquez, representing the Gideon organization. I'm not quite sure how long it is since I first met my brother. I understand that he came to the Stouffville area just about a year before I did, 23 years ago, from the island of Jamaica. He knows the Lord, he loves him. He's an elder in the Brethren Assembly here in Markham, and he's the chaplain of the Gideon camp in this area. And he's going to share with us this evening a report on the Gideons and also from the Word, that which God has laid on his heart. So may the Lord give us listening ears and hearts that are willing to respond, wills that are obedient to whatever God has to say to us through our brother tonight. Brother Andre Henriquez.
Thank you very much, Pastor Hamilton, and the church for having us here this evening to share with you something about the Gideons. You know, there are some churches, these are not the evangelical churches. Rather, there is an evangelical church that has consistently refused us, not in this area, I must say, but many of the nominal churches don't have us. So it's we thank you for this opportunity to share with you. The Gideons are a group of business and commercial and professional men. We come from various denominations. We like to regard ourselves as an arm of the church. We reach into the traffic arteries of life to present the Word of God, or to place the Word of God. Hotels, motels, hospitals, prisons, schools. Especially regarding schools, we know that the children of today are the men and women of tomorrow. And we are endeavoring to reach these boys and girls for Christ. And every year, some 300,000 copies of the Word of God is placed in the hands of the grade 5 children in the public schools and the grade 4 in the separate schools more recently. We're asking you to pray for us in a special way, because the separate schools are virtually closed, the public schools, I should say, are virtually closing to us. There was a time when we'd go in and we could share a little word, we could have a prayer, and it's not so now. We have to be very careful. There are so many groups here that feel that we are infringing on their rights when we present the Word of God. I recall that we were told that in a certain area in Thornhill, that we were completely refused entrance into the school, and one lady, a Christian, had her son there, and she said, "I have rights, and I want my son to receive a testament publicly in this school." And she made a big fuss about it. And eventually there were 6 children in that school that we were able to give testaments to. We're a worldwide organization reaching into 145 countries, publishing the Word of God in 60 languages. Every 13 days we place 1 million copies of the Word of God worldwide. We have so far placed 1 million copies in Russia. We have, I think, 5 camps in Russia. And Russia represents the 145th country that we are in now. Every year, as I say, we give away these testaments to the boys and girls. It's a particular pleasure for me as I work the separate schools. The entrance, the entree we have there is marvelous. I was sharing guardedly with a class how the Lord changed my life many years ago. And the sister, a nun, she was in the class and she said, "Would you tell them how the Lord changed your life?" And of course, it was my pleasure and privilege. But we can pray, we can preach. It's marvelous. And we do thank God while the public schools are closing, the separate schools are opening up. And while the Word of God is being resisted in Canada here in many areas, we have millions of people in the Eastern Bloc willing and ready to receive the Word of God. We are men that have personally experienced the transforming power of Christ in our lives through the Word of God. We have seen too the lives of men and women changed through the Word of God. You know, I used to think that we had to have somebody sit with someone who wants to know about Christ and explain the way of salvation. But over and over we have testimonies coming in of men who have taken up the Word of God in a prison or in a hotel, and they've read it, following some of the directions we have in the Bible, and they've come to know the Lord as personal Savior. Yes, it's marvelous as we can recognize the power and the direction of the blessed Holy Spirit. Our work is supported by personal contributions from members and friends, from church services, but in a very special way through our Memorial Bible Plan. This is a plan where you can dedicate Bibles to the memory of a loved one that has passed on. And we know that churches like yours use this plan. I'm sure there is a display outside there. So you can always remember this. Sometimes you may wonder, well, you know, what can I give, you know, to remember someone? I'm not saying that flowers aren't beautiful and we should have flowers, you know. It would be very drab without flowers. But to think of it, every Bible you place is a silent missionary, working 24 hours a day. Every Bible you contribute to that is placed in a motel, a hotel, or a hospital, or a prison. So we encourage you to support our Memorial Bible Plan and give this very, think of this preeminently if you have to go to a funeral on the next occasion. We ask you to pray for us too regarding the hospital here. We are trying to get the Bibles in there, in the Markham Stouffville Hospital. And one gentleman at the meeting said because of the ethnic situation in Markham, he don't think the Bibles would be appropriate in the hospital. And I said to him, "Sir, we place Bibles all over Canada." I says, "Toronto is a very ethnic city, and our Bibles are received in the hospitals gladly." We hear that in, I don't know if it's in the Markham Stouffville, but this objection has come up, and the thought is that the Bibles cannot be sanitized from one patient to the other. So you see a lot of things, a lot of forces working to promote, to discredit the Word of God and to resist the promotion of the Word of God. So we're asking you to pray for us in a very special way. I'd like to share with you some thoughts about Stephen. The topic is Stephen, man of God. The man that led me to the Lord 48 years ago, he was about 15 years older than I was. I regard him as a man of God. He died 2 or 3 years ago. And I would love to be recognized as a man of God. There are seven things that characterized Stephen as a man of God. And these seven things we read that he was full of. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of power, full of light, full of love, and he had a full vision of the glory of God. Stephen, man of God, full of faith. You know, there are degrees of faith. The Lord said of some, "O ye of little faith." Of another, he said, "I have not seen so great faith." But faith seems to connect us with everything concerning God. Faith and trust, or belief in God. Faith and the Holy Spirit. Faith and power. Faith and wisdom. Faith and suffering. Faith and hope. Yes, Stephen was a man full of faith. Faith that made him, first of all, a Christian, a believer. Faith that led him to a deep commitment to the Lord, where he could say, like Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Faith that caused him to be fully persuaded to follow Christ. The hymn writer says, "Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. I trust him now, I trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end." Yes, he could say, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other living creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Like Moses, Stephen chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose affliction rather than acceptance of the status quo. In other words, Stephen rocked the boat. And you know, we need to have more Christians like that. Christians that will rock the boat. When you see something that's not honoring to the Lord, we need to speak up about it. Yes, Stephen chose confessing the name of Christ rather than compromise. Stephen chose death rather than denial of Christ. Stephen, like Moses, esteemed the reproaches of Christ far greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Stephen had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And that's something we need to think of, to have respect unto the recompense. Yes, we may have to suffer here for a time. We may have to bear reproach and persecution, but there's coming a dear reward when we stand for the Lord. He weighed the treasures of earth against the rewards of heaven. And he could say, "I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name." Stephen could say with Paul, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as refuse, that I may win Christ." Yes, Stephen, a man full of faith, and a man full of the Holy Ghost. A man that had an insatiable desire and thirst for God. A man like David, who could say, "As the hart or the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God." A man who had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our Lord himself said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Yes, Stephen drank at the fountain of living water. He may have even been at that scene when our Lord Jesus stood up at the feast and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Holy Spirit. Stephen thirsted for God. Stephen came to the source of blessing. Stephen drank. Stephen was filled. Stephen overflowed. Stephen, man of God, not only filled with the Holy Spirit, but a man full of wisdom. Scripture says in Acts 6:3, a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And then we read in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. He confounded the Sanhedrin, the scholars and the teachers, with his knowledge. They could not debate him. Yes, he was a man that loved the Word of God and knew the Word of God. They had no answers to his statements and questions. His words cut like a two-edged sword to their very souls. We read that then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him. They could not bear to hear his words and listen to him preach. He was a man, the scripture says, full of faith and power. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Did not our Lord say, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you? And I recognize the time when a new dimension was added to my life as a Christian, when I started to recognize the person of the blessed Holy Spirit. Yes, the scriptures opened anew to me in a real way when I recognize his indwelling presence, when I recognize the fact that I could be filled with the presence of God and filled with the blessed Holy Spirit. Yes, he was a man full of faith and power, power to declare the word of God with boldness. He saw the cruelty that was afflicted on our Lord. He thought too that maybe this will happen to me if I preach as boldly as I do. He knew that they would possibly get false witnesses to testify against him. Nevertheless, he declared the unadulterated word of God. He was full of faith and power to perform miracles. The scripture says he did great wonders and miracles among the people, healing the sick, casting out demons. He was a man full of faith and power, strength to endure suffering. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You know, I believe this scene was indelibly impressed on Saul, who became Paul, as he witnessed this man, Stephen, as he saw the glory of the Lord in his face, as he recognized the boldness of Stephen. It impressed him indelibly. And that, I believe, led him eventually to find the Lord himself and to suffer like Stephen did. He was full of light, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. God's presence enveloped Stephen. He bore a reflection of the Lord himself. And the scripture says, we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the blessed Holy Spirit. And so it is as we in faith enjoy your prayers, enjoy reading the Word of God, enjoy seeing God in the Bible and His precious Word, we are changed. We are changed from glory to glory. And there are men who have borne even a physical likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's this man, Sundar Singh, I think, was a man of God. And it is said that he was visiting a home in England, and he knocked on the door, and a girl came to answer the door. She looked at him and her jaws fell. She ran back inside and she said, "Mother, Jesus is outside and wants to speak to you." This man so lived so near to the Lord that he bore a reflection, an image of the Lord Himself. Yes, he was full of the Holy Spirit, that his face shone. Yes, he was a man full of love, and he, kneeling down, cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In spite of their persecution and cruelty and hate, he asked God to forgive him. And he uttered words similar to the words that our Lord said on the cross of Calvary. "Yes, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Truly, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Then we read that he had a full vision of the glory of God. And that's something. "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the glory of God." Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Stephen, a man full of light and power and wisdom. Yes, Stephen, a man who had a full vision of the glory of God. What an experience to see the heavens open. He saw the glory of God. What a welcome. Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory of God to welcome a man of God, Stephen, into his presence. May God inspire hearts to be men and women of God. I do hope maybe I could bear such a testimony one day. May God grant it for his name's sake. Amen.